Hi there, I'm Shelley Freelo, and welcome to the Ministry of Marriage podcast on HerFaithRadio.com. I'm an author, speaker, founder, and president of HerFaithVillage.com Ministries, a multifaceted ministry for women and youth. But my main role is as wife to my husband of over 30 years and as women's ministry leader for over 25 years. I'm so happy you were able to tune in for today's podcast. Thank you for joining our podcast today. We're going to be addressing something that one of my listeners, has asked me to discuss, and that is how to find a good man. Now, this young lady is about 22, and she called me and she said, "Shell, I'm being told that I'm supposed to wait on a godly man, but when I ask, what does he look like? They just tell me that I'll know." So she asked me, is there a way that I can get more information than just, well, when you see one, you'll know, she says, because I don't even know what I'm supposed to look for. I've only been in the world. All the dating that I've done is in the world. And what I expect in a mate is based on the world. So what do I do? So I told her that this podcast is especially made for single women, although I do believe that there is some information that would be helpful to my married sisters out there. So let's jump right in. Let's start by getting the right mindset. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So the very first thing that we want to start to realize is that my priority at all times should be in pleasing God. Yes, it's great that we want to be married and have kids and have a great relationship, a great marriage, but my number one priority is to live a life that glorifies and satisfies God. Because if I align myself with who God wants me to be, He will work out every other thing in my life. So that's the very first thing that I would tell any young person, or for that matter, any woman at any age that is looking to get married and have a relationship, is to start to work on yourself and the relationship that you have with God. Allow Him to prune you and groom you and convict you about all of that crud that you need to get rid of. Because here's the deal, ladies. Oftentimes, we are praying for that godly man, but we are doing nothing in our lives to prepare ourselves to receive him. So we want to make sure that we are preparing ourselves to be the godly woman that God is calling us to be, so that when He sends that godly brother into our lives, that we are more than ready to accept him. Two, we want to look at 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 35. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So what is this verse telling us? Y'all, it's okay to be single. It's all right. In fact, God is saying that it is a great thing. Enjoy your singleness. Because unlike us married folks, you don't have to deal with the drama of marriage. You are freed up to really allow the relationship between you and God to flourish. But so many times, as women, we've allowed our flesh and society to tell us that we need to have a man in our lives, that we need to be married with kids. But this verse is telling us marriage brings on its own anxieties, just in marriage alone. And that it is okay to be single because in our singleness, we are singly worshiping God. And my mindset is not divided between God and my obligations to my children and my husband. Next, we want to think about breaking the myths. Now, we talked briefly about the myth of being single, right? That there's something wrong with being a single woman. We just realized that there is nothing wrong with being single. In fact, that I am blessed in my singleness and I should celebrate it, right? We just learned that in 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 35. And listen, if you're saying to yourself, it's easy for you to say, celebrate my singleness because you laying up with your man every night, let me be clear. It is okay that you're single, but we do understand in your humanness that you might be lonely, that you might have a desire to be with someone else. In those instances, it is never okay to walk in the flesh. What we need to do is say, Lord, I have a desire to be married. Is that desire because you have instilled that in me, that you want me to be married? And if so, then groom me and mold me into the woman that you need me to be, that you want me to be for the godly man that you're going to send me. But Lord, if it is not your will for me to be married, then I'm asking you to change my spirit, change my thinking to be in alignment for what you have for me. All right? Now let's get back to that breaking the myths of singleness. The first myth that I want to make sure that we understand is not everybody is supposed to be married. We learned that in 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 35 that it was okay to be single, right? It is okay for a woman or a man to not be married. And in so doing, God is saying, I would prefer for you to stay by yourself rather than to be married. Listen to how God puts it in 1 Corinthians 7:2. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So God is saying, listen, I get it. In your humanness, you desire to be with someone else. And because I don't want you to sin in your flesh, I have given you an outlet and parameters for which you can be with someone else. So the myth that every single person on the planet is supposed to be married with kids in a nice house with a white picket fence is just absurd. We see that in God's word, that is not the case. In fact, we see in his word, his preference is for us to be in our singleness so that he can be our devotion. Now in Genesis 2:18, there is another myth. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So what is the myth? The myth is that God said that no one should be alone. Actually, what this verse is saying is that God said that he will make a helper fit for the man based on the fact that he decides who needs to have a mate. See, what we're doing is we're trying to say what God wants for us instead of asking God what he wants for us. In this verse, it says, then the Lord God said. So that was what he wanted. God said, I want this person to be married. I want this person to have a helper. I've created Adam and I've created Eve to fit together like a puzzle piece, right? But what happens when we supersede the will of God? We say, well, God wants me to be married, so I should be looking for a husband. Brother so-and-so sitting on the front row must be it because he's a deacon and he wants to be married and he's fine. And so this must be the man for me. See, we're leaving off the end of that verse, which says, I will make him a helper fit for him. Let's rephrase that. I will make her a leader, a husband, a lover that is fit for her. So the myth that as long as he's Christian, he must be fit for me is incorrect. We need to be looking for the man that God has designed for us. And how do we do that? By going to God on the matter, asking God to give us patience, give us pruning, give us endurance to wait on Him and His timing. You know, our timing could be off. Not necessarily that God doesn't want us to be married. Maybe He's saying, baby, you know what? I'm not trying to make my son have to live in hell because you are so immature in your faith. I want to grow you up first before I send the man that I have designed that is fit for you. So the timing is off for you to be married. Next, we see in 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Let's be honest, ladies, there are times when women seek a husband or a man more than they're seeking the heart of God. Seeking the heart of God must be the priority. Because if I'm seeking the heart of God, everything else will fall in line. But when I find that my time, my thoughts, my effort, my desires are to seek the heart in finding a man, supersedes my time with God, my reading of His Word, my spending time in prayer, in devotion to Him, when my time is being concentrated on praying for this man, Lord, I want to be married, I want to have a boyfriend, I want to be in a relationship, and yet very little time is spent saying, Lord, I want what You want for me. I want to be the woman that You're calling me to be in You. I want to seek Your heart and to please You. And then God will say, my daughter, this is what I wanted for you all along, for us to have a relationship first, so that I can groom you and grow you and make you fit for the person that I am going to send in your life, to make you fit for your singleness if I have called you to be single. Let's go to Proverbs 4:23. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." What on earth could this verse possibly have to do with singleness? Here's how. When my thinking, my desire, my heart is being clouded by my flesh, it leaves very little time, energy, and effort for my spirit to be influenced by God. When I am thinking of this guy that I have to have and I want him to be in my life, and I don't spend any time thinking, wow, am I truly being the woman that God has called me to be? Am I walking in the ministry that He has called me to? Am I influencing the women around me for His glory? Am I seeking to get to know Him better? Or is all of my time spent on trying to make myself attractive for the man that I'm trying to attract in my life? Now, let's get back to that original question. What kind of man should a godly woman be looking for? What are some signals that tell me that this guy is fit for matrimony? And I do want to caution you, I have talked to many, mostly young women, but many women on many different levels that date men that are just absolutely, positively not marriage material. They know that going in. And however, they just say, well, you know, I'll change him or he'll change, or, you know, when we get together, then he'll start. Men don't change. They may tolerate what you're asking them to do, compromise, but their initial person doesn't change short of God changing them. So if this guy is coming to you with an immaturity, if he's coming to you not knowing how to be a man, if he's coming to you and he just wants to have sex with you, you have to accept that this guy is probably not marriage material, because I'm looking for a guy that aligns with God. I'm looking for a guy that can be a leader, that knows how to love me, that knows how to encourage me, that understands that his duty is to love on me the way God loves the church. Let's look at First Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace into the devil's trap. Let's park here for a moment. First, let's be clear. This scripture is specifically talking about male leaders of the church, elders, deacons, ministry leaders. But this scripture is also a great guide as to what is a godly man to look like. What are some of the qualities that I should be expecting him to have when he comes to me? First, it starts saying that as a leader, he should have noble qualities. What does noble qualities mean in the Christian arena? That means that this brother shouldn't have one foot in the world and another foot in the church. He should love the Lord, and you should be able to see his love for the Lord in his life. The second thing that it says, that he should be above reproach. That means when I look at his reputation, when I look at how he handles himself and carries himself, it shouldn't be that I'm like, oh my goodness. Yes, he's in the church. Yes, he says he's a Christian, but I would never know it by his lifestyle. That means, sisters, if this brother is more interested in getting you into bed than learning what kind of godly woman you are, his lifestyle and his words are not matching. It's in conflict, and you need to address it as such. The next thing that we want to look at is it says that he should be hospitable. That means that this should be a brother that's friendly, a brother that loves on people, a brother that is working to make people feel loved. If I got a guy that I'm interested in and he's hostile and hot-headed and he just seems like he's got a chip on his shoulder, he doesn't fit in line with what a man of God should look like. Therefore, he is not marriage material. Because here's the deal. When you start dating a guy, that is the best that you will ever see him. He's wearing his nicest cologne. He's got on the best clothes. He's grooming himself very well. He's telling you all the stuff that he thinks you want to hear. Once you're committed to him and you're in a relationship with him, all of the blinders come off. All of a sudden, he's showing you who he really is. And as Maya Angelou once said, once he reveals to you who he is, believe him. Don't make excuses for it. Realize that God has given me a blueprint of what a godly man is to look like. And if that brother is not aligning himself with that blueprint, he is not the man that God is calling fit for me. The next thing that he says is he should be able to teach. It's rare, a very rare, but a very beautiful thing when a woman can look at her husband and say, I can go to him for guidance. I can go to him for advice. I can go to him and he will teach me what is good. One of the things that I love about my husband is that he's very well versed in politics and in life and with so many different things that even though I may not tell him that I'm listening to the things and advice that he's giving me all the time, I know that if I'm wondering how to do something or I'm wondering, okay, well, what does this mean? I don't understand. And he'll say, well, if you had looked at the news, you would know. But he's keeping himself up to date so that he can keep me up to date. So that means that as I go to him, he's teaching me. How can I be married to a man that I can't even respect? that I don't think that he is my leader in my household. We are dating men that are incapable of being leaders in our households. That is a tragic thing because women are emotional creatures. That means that once I start dating you and I start having feelings for you and you're revealing to me that you are not marriage potential, marriage worthy, you're not a godly man, it is harder for me to break off the relationship. So I should go into any man that approaches me for a relationship, for dating. Does he exhibit these qualities? Thank you, ladies, for tuning in. Please join us next week when we will discuss part two of A Good Man. Until next time, may God bless your relationships and grow your spirit. Thank you for listening. I'm so happy you tuned in today. Please join us next week for another insightful episode of the Ministry of Marriage podcast. If you would like to be a featured podcaster, contact HerFaithRadio.com. Thank you again for listening.